thanksgiving. That is, thanks and giving put together. And the word order matters, for it actually should be giving thanks. First you are given, and then you receive with thanks. That's how it works. You say thanks only after you receive. That's what we teach our children, right, kids? First you say please, then you receive, and then you say thanks. And so thanksgiving, this holiday today, presumes that we have received something, and that something is worth giving thanks for. Tomorrow, everyone will take time before their big buffet to say thanks to someone for the food. Probably say thanks to mom or grandma for slaving over the hot stove. Maybe even say thanks to dad for cooking the turkey. And when your friends or your family show up, you'll say thanks to them for coming, that gift of their presence. And these are good gifts, food, friends, and family. No doubt worth their thanks. Worth the thanks because they're gifts given to you by God. God gives us homes and family and friends and food, indeed everything we have, because he loves us in Christ. So thanksgiving, the holiday, is really about the giving. God's giving, gift, free, generous, bountiful, loving. That's why you're here, to receive the gifts of God, his blessings, free, undeserved, and generous as God gives. God the Father gives you Jesus Christ. He forgives you. He washes you clean. He feeds you with holy food. He cares for your body and souls with bread from heaven in your ears. You receive everything that you need from God. But no one likes being dependent upon another. Only reluctantly would someone resort to receiving food stamps. Only out of complete desperation would they ask their family or their friend or their stranger for cash. To be a beggar, we are taught, is to be inhuman. That's how we're raised to think, anyway. But not so for the Christian, and not with God. There is no more taking credit for the good in your life. You know better. You are beggars. This is true. And this is good. Beggars before God, the God who made everything, the earth that is full of the creatures he made. And he makes the grass to grow for them, to feed them. He gives plants to us to cultivate for man. He gives us food from the earth and wine to gladden our hearts, says the psalmist. That makes us a lot different than the pagans. Pagans worship the god of their stomach on Thanksgiving. Probably also football. They might give thanks, but it's to the gods that they have set up, the gods of hard work and of fortune and luck. They've been blessed by God, but they've seemed to have missed something. What did they miss? They received blessings from God. Why can't they give him thanks? They missed the gifts of the Spirit, forgiveness, life, and salvation in his holy church. Those gifts are absent in their life. They fed their body, they fed their eyes, but they paid no attention to the food for their souls and for life everlasting. That's how the pagans get the God part wrong, and they get the thanks part wrong. Throughout the whole Holy Scriptures, Jesus teaches us how to give thanks, what thanksgiving is. That's not merely just a word about of saying thanks, but a word about his giving. And again, the word order matters. God gives, and then we return thanks. We return thanks to God by giving as well. So God gives, we receive, we give thanks, and then we give. It's kind of a divine pay it forward scheme. He outlined it this way in Deuteronomy. Thus, when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, God gives, You shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, and you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. That's the church for them, the tabernacle. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. There it is. God tells you how to give thanks, how to celebrate this holiday of thanksgiving. To receive, to give thanks by giving an offering of the first of your fruit. This offering is not given out of obligation or duty or even necessity under compulsion, but it's given in thanks. It doesn't make it easier to do. How many of us can lay our offerings before the Lord and then do, as Moses instructs us, to rejoice in all the good that the Lord our God has given to us and to our house? To lay our offering before God and then rejoice in all that he has given us. Probably too few of us. We hold the purse strings too tight. We love our wealth too much. That's why Jesus warned us in the gospel to take care and be on our guard against all covetousness. He wants us to remember that our life does not consist in the abundance of possessions, but consists in being dependent upon him. You are completely dependent upon your God. And even if you don't ask for what you need for this body and life, he gives it to you. He gives you daily bread. But then he also gives to you, especially to Christians, a gift of faith to realize that this gift is from him. That's the rub. That's the problem with the pagans. They receive from God, but they don't acknowledge the giver of the gift. Why? Because they have no faith. God gives, and faith receives. And so, without that gift of the Holy Spirit, without being here to hear that God is the giver of the gift, the giver is ignored and dismissed. That's why you're here today, or would be tomorrow if we had service tomorrow, not for turkey or smashed potatoes or sweets. You're here for a different kind of food. To receive bread from heaven, that is the word that gives to you faith. And then in receiving that gift, you realize God's blessings in all areas of your life. And you're able to receive everything with thanksgiving. You receive from God and then can give thanks to the giver of every good gift. And so thanks can only come after the giving. If not first you receive, then you could never give thanks. That's what our worship is all about, Christian worship. It's about the gifts. Word is preached, absolution declared, water and word washing, body and blood of Jesus fed, blessings given. These are great gifts received. And then what happens to us? Anything? Of course, wake up. The glory of God is revealed in these gifts. These are gifts from God for life and for salvation. And the Lord rejoices to give and gives that you may receive. Receiving God's gifts, especially those of faith, changes you. He gives you those blessings to make you whole again through the forgiveness of wrong. He gives to you his gifts as seals of the promise to be with you till the end of time and into eternity. He gives you his gifts as inheritance for heaven. That is his last will and testament for you. So there is a danger, of course, to the one who keeps these Lord's treasures for himself. Not just his stuff, but the gifts of faith, the gifts of the Spirit, the Word, and the sacraments. If you store up those treasures for yourself and not for others, Jesus calls you a fool. It would be foolish for you to receive all of God's gifts and never to give. Foolish to reap bountifully and then to store them in barns. Be foolish to give thanks and then withhold charity. It's foolish to receive the Lord's gifts of his word and sacrament and then hoard that bounty to yourself. God has given to you not that you would just receive, which is true, but that you would give thanks, not merely in word, but in deed and truth, by caring for those in need, by supporting your church. Lord, grant that we have this sort of humility to receive with thankfulness all of his good gifts and to share with those in need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.